Sweet as, Donnie, and I'd like to give a shout-out to all the homies out there. Hope you dig the crispy new sound of Richie and the Boys. This is marvellous.
All right, cordial test. It's actually all right this time.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's decent. What, rate it.
What would you put it, where would you put it on the tier list, Jimmy?
On the tier list?
Yep.
Lime cooler.
Lime cooler?
Lime cooler.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Fine League to Fine League podcast.
Yes, it has been a while.
Been a while.
Yes.
It's now winter, or it's nearly winter.
Yeah, it's just hitting the end of May.
But it feels like we're exiting a tough period in our history.
Yes.
We're just coming out of lockdown at the moment and everything's starting to open back up.
Yes.
Looking promising, especially cricket.
Yeah.
Well, I think cricket's been quite fortunate in that it hasn't been affected too much by by the virus.
Well, there's been, two tests in Bangladesh cancelled?
Something like that.
That's not much.
That's about it. And hasn't affected the Australian summer. It's timed itself nicely, to be honest.
It's been pretty good.
Should we get into it?
Why not?
All right. Well, we got to kick it off with the fines.
Yes.
All right, we've got a few.
Yeah.
You want to go first?
Yeah. All right, can we should go. Start off with
go
the big
one.
David Warner for his TikToks.
Okay, yeah.
Huge.
Oh.
Massive. I just don't get it.
Dave, surely you've got something better to do than...
But it's funny, you say the dynamics between him and Steve Smith. Like, Steve Smith's giving batting tips on his social media.
Yeah, and then Warner's making...
He's, putting corn on a drill and trying to make himself eat it.
It's just the atrocities that he is.
And he starts dressing up...
upon the world.
Starts dressing up as his wife for some of them, and it's like, what is going... what have you got next for us, Jim?
Just the BBL, I don't know, the boss of CEO, whatever he is,
the Gil McLaughlin of BBL.
Pretty much has been considering, well, I hope not, but considering having split innings in BBL.
Yeah.
And that would honestly just be the worst thing.
Exactly.
Because the BBL's already that much of a meme.
Yeah.
And we take the piss out of it so much already, but if... Imagine if it was splitting.
Because they promote it as, the short form of cricket, and it's supposed to be entertaining. And it's like, what's entertaining about four innings T20 cricket?
Well, imagine if you're opening the batting, you've batted for 10 overs, you've made 60, 70 odd, and then you've got to go on field for 10 overs and then put the pads back on and go back out.
Yeah.
That just wouldn't work.
It just...
No, and it just... Okay, also... From now on, we're also going to be referring to the BBL as the Zupa Dupa League.
Yes.
Because that's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
All the players just look like Zupa Dupas.
Yeah, just a bunch of colours and flavours.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's how much they've over-commercialised the Big Bash, rather than focusing way too much on entertainment than
the actual
cricket. It's
literally like Sydney Swans, but if Sydney Swans was a cricket league...
It's just like
everything's sponsored.
Yeah, but
now
it's more like just Gold Coast.
Yeah. Like, I get trying to make
it... Oh, come and watch it. It's good. It's okay. Yeah. It can survive on its own. Well, no, it's...
I get trying to make it entertaining for the
kids. They want to pretend that it's good, but it's just not.
Yeah, they've just over commercialized it. They don't focus anything on the game anymore. It's just more on, the partnership deals with all the brands and all the sponsors.
Look at what they've done to Chris Lynn. They've made him a T20 flog. He only wants to play T20 now. Pretty much all the West Indies players.
Yeah.
It's terrible for the game, to be honest. Moving on. But we're going to find AFL players here. This is from a while back.
Yes.
We've been planning this potty for a while. We're not sure when we've been able to do it, but this is from a while back. AFL players were having a sook about hubs. And this does actually link into cricket, because cricketers sometimes are away for 9 months, 10 months of the year. They're almost never at home.
Yeah, because, I think last year or the year before when they were away for the World Cup.
Yeah.
And the...
Ashes.
Ashes, that's the other thing that happened, yeah.
They were away for a long time.
And before that, they're in the UAE.
Yeah.
Literally right before
exactly.
So they were away for pretty much all of winter.
Now AFL players are having a sook about
what being having like to 10 minutes from home.
Go into a hub without their families for a couple of months.
Yeah.
That's it.
I just, yeah. I don't get it. Like,
nah, it's...
And I kind of do get it, but it just... You know, yeah, like if you're really committed to the sport, you'd, you know, do what
you do it.
You do it.
All right, next fine, Michael Clark.
Yes.
Just there's a number of things. He's been terrible these last few months.
Yeah, we can just give him a microphone.
His media comments just
yeah. Well, didn't he have like a really terrible
radio debut? Just absolutely bombed.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to it. I don't want to.
So I remember someone telling us on our Instagram at Fine League Cricket.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was really terrible. Got like zero ratings and no one liked it. So.
Yeah. He's essentially the Cane Corns of cricket.
Yeah.
If you know what that means.
Yeah. But yeah, so
most of our listeners,
I assume. So the thing that we're finding him for mainly is suggesting that Chris Lynn
should get a central contract.
Yes. For
Because Australia. This is the year that we're having a T20 World Cup, which makes just no sense.
Because you give him a slightly swinging ball on the stumps, like, or outside
he's
off.
He's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's had no form whatsoever. He said he was going to dominate the BBL and other T20 competitions. And
barely showed up.
He had one good innings against the Sydney Sixers, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then didn't do anything for the rest of the competition, just like the Brisbane Heat.
Yeah.
Even
with De Villiers.
Also, the fact that Clark's prioritising T20 cricket over Test cricket, and especially when we've got India coming over this year.
Exactly.
Who beat us last time, and that's the priority here, I think, over the World Cup, if it even goes ahead.
Yeah, because at the moment they're saying that the World Cup's in limbo, but the Test series, they really
the Test will go ahead. They have confirmed that.
I mean,
actually.
Because they're saying that they're going to get a lot of money from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, well, the BCCI is going to lose a lot of money if those tests don't go ahead. Not like them
exactly.
to give up on money. Yeah. Actually, $300 million, I think I read.
Yeah.
Yeah, something stupid like that.
Huge.
But, yeah, no, Clark, just shut up.
Yeah.
All right, okay, going back to the contracts which came out a while ago.
Yeah.
Mitch Marsh has been given a central contract. No. Okay, and from now on this podcast, we're just going to fine the Aussie selectors every time they select Mitch Marsh in anything.
Actually, all right. Except for T20s, I reckon. T20 Mitch Marsh, I don't mind.
Yeah, we have discussed this, and the only time we'll condone Mitch Marsh in the Australian team is as a number 7 in the T20 side, because we feel like he's the best T20 all-rounder and best number 7 lower order batsman we have.
Yeah.
And he can actually play. And Agar's just not strong enough as a batsman.
No, I'm not a fan of Agar.
To play at number 7.
Yeah.
Like, his bowling's all right, but he can't justify selection
if we have,
as a lower order batsman.
If we have Maxwell in the team, you got him to bowl like 2 overs or something like that to replace Agar.
Yeah, and then you've got Mitch Marsh who can bowl 2 or 3 overs as well. So, and I don't think Stoinis he's not a number 6 or 7.
No.
So
you'll need, say, Warner or Finch to unfortunately get injured or have terrible form for Stoinis.
Yeah, but they reckon he's coming into his prime, Mitch Marsh, but
yeah.
Well, he should be.
I reckon what we kind of need in our teams is that we have, like, specialist limited overs players and specialist test players.
Which we have had with a few blokes, like Zampa, Finch.
Agar, I guess.
Yeah.
Ashton Turner, kind of.
Yeah, nah, don't really want to see him come back anytime soon, to be honest.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking, like, maybe David Warner was kind of a bit lucky, I guess.
Yeah.
How he's gone from that limited overs with barely any Sheffield... Well, because he came into Australia T20 side with no Sheffield Shield experience.
Mm.
But because of the Big Bash when it first came out, when it was just States, it was pretty good. So, yeah, I think I wouldn't mind having kind of that contrast between the teams where it's like not every test player is a limited overs player.
Well, I think that's something that England's actually gotten good at over these last few years. Like, Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad don't play.
Yeah. And Alastair Cook didn't play any.
They didn't play any limited overs cricket in the last.
And Owen Morgan doesn't play any tests over there either.
Although I think, he's probably been unlucky, to be honest.
Yeah.
In terms of test selection, but yeah. No, I think that's something to look into for the selectors. Moving on, Umar Akmal has been a flog again. Match fixing. He's been given a 3-year ban. Fine. Yep.
Terrible. Yep.
You want to go through this last one?
Yes. Sportsbet hiring Bev from the Bev Show.
Oh God.
Yeah.
He was only commentating on a marble race, but still, like, come on. You're better than that, Sportsbet. Yeah, we like you.
First, you like taking.
We like the grubs. Bit of an inspiration for us.
It's like that. Was it Star Wars meme? It's like you've become the thing that you came.
You swore to destroy.
Exactly.
Come on, you got to get better at your Star Wars quotes.
Now. Sorry, my apologies. Yeah. Any Star Wars fans out there?
Watch Revenge of the Sith again, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That wraps up the fines.
That's a lot of fines.
It's a lot of fines.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff to get through in this potty.
Yes. So just gonna speed through it.
It's been a while.
And smash it out. This may be a longer potty. But yeah, we got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Stick around.
Yeah.
All right, so one of the things that's come out of this COVID outbreak is the outlaw of
saliva.
Using saliva to shine the ball.
Yeah.
And this has become an issue, particularly for red ball cricket, because obviously bowlers need to stay in the game by shining the ball. And on already flat wickets, especially in Australia, it's becoming an increasing issue. And that I think there's been I think the ICC is actually, they're thinking of legalising different
techniques.
There was some stuff thrown around in the early days of this discussion, like sunscreen, Murray mints, Mentos, Vaseline, even shoe polish.
Yeah. And they were saying detergent or something like that.
Detergent or disinfectant or stuff like that.
I personally think if they really want to take this somewhere and actually kind of have some sort of rule around it, whether you just have, say, the person at mid-on or mid-off, they're just like the designated ball shiner or something like that.
Yeah, I think
because that's what they tried to do in local cricket in the last one or two weeks in the finals before it got cancelled. That's what they wanted to have. They had a designated shiner.
Yeah.
So, I can see that possibly happening, but I think with having all these, like, different substances, it's kind of like, it's a bit unfair. I guess it's kind of a bit unfair because you got people like David Warren, Steve Smith that did the sandpaper thing, and it's like, oh, now that's legal, so it's fine.
Yeah, no, they can't go all out with it. But I think, Kookaburra has been developing an artificial wax sort of thing, but I think the ICC is wanting to give that to the umpires rather than to the player. I'm not sure how it's really going to work.
I don't know how that can be outlawed.
The umpires administer the
wax.
A portion of the wax, which,
I think that just
don't really want the umpires waxing my balls.
No, neither do I, to be honest. So I think it just takes a bit too much time out of the game as well by having to just give the umpire the ball and just say, hey, can you just chuck some wax on here? It's like...
Yeah.
Because it takes so much time when they, like, test the ball and put it through, like, that little kind of cup sort of thing to, like, see if the ball shape's changed or something like that. And that takes time. So what's going to happen if every second over or something like that, so I have to put some wax on it to,
Yeah, well, it doesn't really affect me as a local cricketer, to be honest. I've always... Yeah. I've mastered the art of shining the ball on my shirt, and I'm actually very good at it.
I'm more of a hamstring sort of guy. Chuck.
I find that on the shirt you can get more friction.
Really?
On there, and it shines better. I've never mastered the art of using saliva to shine the ball. I've always just been a dry shiner, and it does work. Works.
I've been a wet shiner, to be honest. Just get a bit of saliva and just
chuck. Yeah, I always just end up with a big wet patch on the ball when I try to do that, so... Yeah, no, dry shining works if you rub it fast enough, then...
Jesus, Jimmy. God's sake. First
no, it about, works on... Ball swings.
Waxing balls.
Trust me, it swings. Well... All right, moving on.
Yeah.
So we've got, obviously, the upcoming Australian summer. There's been some recent developments. The Indian and Afghanistan tours have been confirmed.
Yes.
Just very recently.
Yes.
So we're having one test against Afghanistan at the end of November.
Yep.
And then the four test series against India.
Yep. Yep. So the Afghanistan game will be a day-nighter at Perth Stadium. Originally it said the Wacker, but I think they'll...
Yeah, we read last night it was going to be at the Wacker, and yeah. we were very confused. And
I think I was more concerned for Afghanistan.
And concerned for Afghanistan because we would have made 500 or 600 in the first innings.
Yeah, it would have been like a Matthew Hayden 300 again.
The Wacker is that flat now compared to what it used to be. Yeah. No, we definitely would have won by an innings.
Yeah, but now it's changed to Perth Stadium, which is a lot better.
However,
yeah,
the pitch is one of the best for bowlers in Australia, arguably the best for bowlers in Australia, and it's a day-night test.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're still going to smash Afghanistan.
But we're also thinking about that game, whether Australia go for more of like an A-side.
Whether rest some players.
Because they'll probably want to rest maybe the IPL players.
Yeah, possibly. So that being Stark, Hazelwood. Wait, Stark?
Stark isn't playing.
Not it. Stark. Cummins, Hazelwood, Smith and Warner, I think, are the ones in the test side. Yeah. So it could open up a spot for a few other blokes.
Yeah, but you probably don't want to have too many debutants, I reckon.
Yeah, I think they might do what they did against Sri Lanka a few years ago, except they won't change it too much.
Yeah.
It'll be more of a warm-up game for the India series.
Yeah.
I would have thought.
Maybe have some blokes that can probably prove themselves and try and get a spot.
Yeah.
Fight a spot into the test side against India, maybe.
And I think that's going to come down to who's in form, really, at the time. Can't really predict too much at the moment.
Yeah.
So just have to wait and see. Another talking, Nico, you raised this with me,
yeah.
And you said that you reckon this is going to be bigger than the 2019 Ashes, this series against India.
Yeah, I reckon it might be, because I think India have the wood over us, but we've got Smith and Warner back, and we've got Labuschagne, who's in form, and is just tearing the scene up. And I think if crowds are allowed into the stadiums, you know, it's going to be like one of the first sporting events in Australia where crowds will be allowed to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why I think we're going to get decent crowds, especially with it being Australia and India, because India has a lot of...
Well, there's generally more Indians in the stadium than Australians.
Yeah, and there's a large Indian fan base in Australia. So, yeah, and I think that it could decide the Test Championship as well.
Because I think it will.
Because we're the top two sides. Yeah. So I think... Yeah,
India hasn't really had to face a strong opponent yet.
Yeah, I think they've had... Have they played England yet?
No, not in the Test Championship. Okay. I think that their last series against them was just before the Test Championship. And they went over and lost to New Zealand, so that opens it right up for us to... If we beat them, I think we're in a good spot of making that final.
Yeah, and I think, there's a bit of drama and beef that goes along with them, especially when Payne was captain. He's like, everyone just ignore Kohli.
Yeah.
And which is, I think, is actually a pretty decent strategy, I think, because making Kohli the less important figure in that test team, I reckon that could really get to him.
Yeah. See, I reckon it's going to be a very big series. I'm really looking forward to it. I don't think it's going to be as big as the Ashes, because that was...
I don't think it's going to be as big as last Ashes. Last Ashes was huge.
Yeah.
Especially for Australia.
Yeah.
Although the series drew in the end, which is a bit lackluster.
We still retained for the first time in 19 years.
Like that game at... What was that game that Stokes smashed us?
Headingley, I think.
Headingley, yeah. I think that's going to probably go down as one of the greatest test matches of all time, I reckon. Yeah. Like, it's probably it's up there with 05.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess one of the good talking points about this Indian series is that they've finally agreed to a day-night test, which I'm very much looking forward to, because I really want to see Kohli try and bat under lights against a swinging pink ball.
Yeah, although I think last time India played a pink test, they were playing against Bangladesh, I think.
I can't even remember.
And they absolutely annihilated them and...
Yeah, but that's Bangladesh.
And that was actually without Shakib Al.
I want to see Kohli face Stark and Cummins with a pink ball.
And Hazelwood is... I think Hazelwood was pretty good with the pink ball. Yeah. Not the best, but because Stark's taken, what, 42 minutes when the, already?
Under the lights, most of the bowlers have got their tail up, so...
Yeah,
should be very good to watch. Going on to selection, one thing that has been raised recently is, does Usman Khawaja have a future in the Australian side?
Yeah. I actually reckon he might in the shorter format.
I reckon in one dayers.
I reckon he has possibly the potential. Does,
because he's still one of the best one day batsmen in Australia.
Yeah, I'd actually put him at 3 or 4. I think
I'd have him at 3.
I think maybe.
Oh no, actually, because you got to sort of have Labuschagne at number 3. You can't have him number 4. He's too defensive a player to have at number 4.
I think the problem with Labuschagne is that he's probably not quite.
He's not that overly aggressive.
Yeah.
And doesn't score.
Because I remember watching him and Steve Smith batting together, and like they spent 20 overs just nudging the ball around, which led to the last 10 overs just being absolutely frantic, and then we ended up losing.
Which is where we need those lower order batsmen to come in and make a score, which is we need Maxwell batting at that number 6, I think. Carey is good as a number 5. I like him at number 5. So I don't know. Yeah, Khawaja is a very good backup player to have in one day cricket.
Him, I think. Even Sean Marsh. I think Sean Marsh probably is still a decent...
I don't think he's coming back, to be honest.
Maybe not for Australia, but I know for WA he's pretty decent. WA is pretty decent.
Yeah, he'll play for another few years yet.
Yeah.
I would have thought. Though he's 36 or something now.
Getting there. Probably not in tests. I don't think Uzi will have a future in tests.
No, I don't think he'll come back.
Yeah.
No, I think they'll look to younger options now rather than...
Especially when you got Labuschagne and Smith.
Labuschagne and Smith have really solidified that top order.
Yeah.
And it's really only that opening spot. I mean, that's the only spot I can see Khawaja coming back is as an opener.
Yeah, but then you got Warner and Finch.
In Test cricket.
Oh, in Test cricket,
In Test cricket.
Yeah, because he wasn't bad as an opener. I remember he came in as a... He was all right
in... UAE.
Yeah.
How he would go in Australia, I don't know.
I remember one time, I think David Warner
had to bat 3 because he was off the field for too long, and he did play as an opener in that game. And
he did well.
He turned up against, I think it was New Zealand, wasn't it?
Or it might have been Pakistan.
2015. It was that year that he was just scoring tons of runs.
Yeah.
It
would have been New Zealand because we had West Indies and then New Zealand.
I think it was New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Opening partnership. Who would you have partnering David Warner?
I think...
In Test cricket.
When was our last Test?
That was against New Zealand.
New Zealand. That's when we had Joe Burns.
SCG.
And Joe Burns didn't do much wrong.
He didn't do much wrong, but is he contributing enough to the Test side?
I don't think he... Did he score... I think he scored maybe one ton.
He didn't score a ton summer.
He didn't.
His last ton was against Sri Lanka in Canberra, I think.
Okay.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I don't know. I think Burns hasn't done much wrong. I don't think Bancroft should.
He's not coming back for a while. Renshaw, unless he gets back into form, can't see him coming back anytime soon.
Yeah, which is a bit of a shame because I really liked Renshaw.
Yeah. He's become a bit of a T20 flog now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Then we got Hughes as another
Daniel
option.
Hughes is someone who's not talked about as much as I think he should be.
Yeah, I think he's very underrated.
I don't know why the selectors haven't considered him. I know he's 30-odd years old now.
Yeah.
But he would be a solid partner for Warner.
I reckon he's probably one of the most dynamic...
He's definitely one of the most underrated cricketers in Australia.
He's probably the most dynamic and underrated cricketers in domestic level.
And I mean, if he goes his whole career without playing for Australia, I'm going to be very, very disappointed.
Because in the one days for New South Wales, he was decent.
He absolutely dominated.
In T20s for sixes, he's not too bad.
He's all right.
And, in Sheffield Shield...
I really think he should get a run in the Australia A team at least.
Yeah.
And possibly be in the squad as a backup opener.
Yeah.
In the test side. And I guess the two others you would talk about are Maddow, who's been dominating recently.
Yeah, he had his chance at number 5 or 6.
He was at number 6, but that was when we were terrible.
That's when we had, what, 3 debutants in one
game? Yeah, something like that.
One game. And 2 of them dominated, and he
did nothing.
Yeah.
He wasn't ready, though,
yeah,
by his own admission, and you could obviously see it.
Yeah.
He just wasn't ready.
Yeah.
I think he
but now might be ready.
I don't know whether he'd suit Australia as an opener in Test cricket, because I don't know if he complements Warner enough, because they're similar players in the way
they're both left-handers.
They play both aggressive left-handers, so I don't know if you can go down that road with having Maddison as an opener and facing world-class bowling.
Yeah,
especially against, like,
because you think of like all the openers that we've had, like especially Hayden and Langer, they're probably the most. How would you describe them? Probably the most successful.
They contrast quite a bit, but they complement each other really nicely.
Yeah.
Even,
I remember, I think even Harrison Warner
sort of works. They're both lefties again.
Yeah, but Harris is more of that kind of, he's very technical, I think.
Yeah, unfortunately, he just didn't make enough runs and hasn't been making, well, he was making enough runs in Shield cricket.
He didn't do too well.
Didn't do
played one or two games in the Ashes.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a struggle for all Australia's top order batsmen.
Yeah,
except Smith and
Well, the Nunes, openers
but,
for the openers.
But for the openers, it was a struggle, and for Khawaja as well.
Yeah, that's probably annoyed me most about with Bancroft, because Bancroft had a decent gig, you know, doing county cricket, but then comes and plays against England and doesn't do too well.
Yeah.
And he was probably the most experienced county player.
Yeah. Yeah, and that now in Shield cricket, he's taken up
getting caught at leg slip.
Getting caught at leg slip all the time and just making 10 off 100.
Yeah.
His strike rate has just gone down the toilet.
Yeah.
Essentially. I don't know what he's... Him and Bryce Street are just terrible. And Renshaw.
Yeah.
As well, I don't know what's happened to Renshaw. He became that a more aggressive player, but now he's gone back into his shell.
Yeah.
So, middle order batsman. Yeah. I think we just leave them. Wade and Head, especially Head. Just leave Head in there.
Yeah, because we were talking, and we both reckon that Head has the potential to be maybe not the next
long term leadership prospect.
Yeah, but he's going to be in that next leadership group, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe not captain, possibly captain, but. Definitely.
You have to leave Head in
for
the next few years.
Yeah.
Regardless of form, I think, because he's a quality player and he's better than anyone else we've got in that middle order.
Yeah, I think Wade probably a bit past his prime. Definitely past his prime. But I think he still has that potential, like especially with that ton that he made in the Ashes, where he essentially played his game. Like his second shot of the day was a sweep shot, a reverse sweep for 4. Like, if he just keeps playing his game, but plays it correctly.
Yeah, he will be under pressure though, because I know the selectors like Mitch Marsh, and if Wade gets dropped, Mitch Marsh is definitely coming in, unfortunately.
But I think if Wade can kind of keep his form for a little while, I think the next person that
he just needs to keep contributing and he'll keep his spot, I think. If he has a run of poor form, his Australian career might be over.
Yeah. Because I don't think he probably won't play limited overs anymore.
Nah.
I don't think.
He has to be his
own. Which is surprising because he's more of a limited overs player, but yet he's only playing tests.
He has to play as an opener, though.
Yeah.
He can't play in the middle order.
No.
Cameron Green, it'd be interesting. Yeah. Don't want to talk him up too much, but
I'd like to see him in an A side, but definitely not in
I think we just have to let him develop for the time being. Let him get back into his bowling.
I think that's the problem with... I reckon that's what happened to Renshaw, I reckon, because he was like 19, 20 when he first played for Australia.
He was all right when he came in, though. He was a mature batsman.
Yeah.
Cameron Green, just as an all-rounder and young fast bowler, you just need to let him develop.
I think you just need to let him have those ups and downs, so then when he plays for Australia, doesn't do too well, he has that experience to kind of get back up there.
Exactly.
Whereas I think the problem with, say, Renshaw...
Renshaw didn't have that experience.
I think he was just, from the beginning, just all the way up, and then he's just gone down after a few poor innings, and then he's just doesn't have that experience.
Hopefully he's not wasted potential, but yeah. All right.
What next?
I think that wraps up the talk of test matches and the selection. So going back to state cricket now, there's been a lot of trade or transfer news, whatever you want to call it. So we're just going to... There's been rumours. There's been nothing confirmed as of yet.
Yeah.
Although there's been a few that are pretty much done and dusted.
Yeah.
So like Zampa and Chris Tremaine heading back to New South Wales.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because Zampa was rumoured to be coming to Victoria.
Yeah.
So we missed out on him, unfortunately.
Tremaine's been a... Not the greatest bowler for Victoria, but he's still been pretty decent.
He was good when he was in his prime a few years ago.
I think it kind of makes sense because he's back. He left the Renegades.
He's not going to be a massive loss, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned at losing him.
Yeah.
He's just going to have a big fight for spots in New South Wales, I think, to be honest.
Especially with like Conway, Copeland.
You got Conway, Copeland, and especially if there's any of the Australian blokes in there. Mm. Yeah, he's not getting a game. Yeah. Probably the biggest one we've read is Darcy Short going to Tassie.
Yeah.
That's just a rumour at the moment, but I reckon it will get done. I reckon Short.
I think they probably need...
Seek that move.
Probably need that quality.
He's not getting the opportunities in WA, I don't think, that he would like.
Yeah.
And I think he's suited to Tassie.
Especially in like the shorter, in the one dayers.
Yeah.
They kind of just push him around a bit and just say, try this spot in the middle this spot in the top order. And
they mostly want him as an opener, but I think Western Australia have so much depth that they feel like they're free to play around with that sometimes. Yeah. But I think Darcy Short, he'll play a major role in Tasmania's team, especially because they see him as a genuine all-rounder and a frontline spinner who can bat in the top order.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have him as a frontline spinner, but I'd definitely give him a fair few.
That's more of a pace bowling pitch, I think he'd be all right.
Yeah.
Especially if he develops his bowling a bit more, he'd be all right.
Yeah. So do you reckon, would you like to see Darcy Short probably opening or top three for Tassie, you reckon?
In Shield cricket, I'd have him as a number 5 or 6, I think.
5 or 6, okay.
But, yeah, definitely opening the batting in limited overs cricket.
He's got to definitely bat in top order for...
Yeah.
I think it would be kind of interesting to see if he gets to go opening kind of like a, I guess, David Warner, more aggressive...
He has opened in Shield cricket before and done okay. I don't think he's set the world on fire. Yeah.
But I think Tassie will probably might give him that opportunity.
Possibly. They've thrown a few. They've got Silk and Doolan though. That's pretty solid.
But I think that they've been a bit lackluster in the past couple of years.
Doolan's underrated. He's a solid opener. Whether they're consistent enough, I don't know. But another bloke that has been rumoured to go to Tassie is this is another one that's almost done is Peter Siddle. Which is unfortunate for Victoria, but I think it is time to move him on and look at younger options. South Australia were also interested, but I think Siddle's more interested in going to Tassie, and I think he can play a bigger role in their team with his experience.
Because Tassie lost, I know George Bailey was a batsman, but I think they lost that experience and that star quality.
They don't have a lot of experience in terms of leadership and...
Yeah, that's why.
In their team
I think
at the
that's
moment.
I don't think Siddle will be their captain.
No, definitely not their captain, but I think he can... Yeah. But play a mentoring role.
Yeah, but whoever's the captain, you know, he can just be like, hey, you know, I think do this, do that, you know.
Yeah.
And be a good mentor, as you said.
Tasmania were also interested in Nick Winter, but I think that's not happening now. South Australia convinced him to stay.
Yeah.
Although I could see him playing a role in Tasmania's team, Nick Winter.
Yeah.
There's definitely competition for spots in terms of bowlers in South Australia now. Yeah. You got Agar, Sayers, Worrell.
Many.
Yeah, so there's... And Winter, so he's definitely fighting for his spot in there.
But I suppose he's probably... Because he's the left-armer, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. So
left-arm, genuine swing bowler.
Yeah, so I suppose he does have that difference to...
But then they've already got other swing bowlers like Sayers and Worrell.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. South Australia's also been looking at Renshaw, apparently. Or maybe it could be of interest to Renshaw to move to South Australia. Been rumoured to go to Adelaide Strikers, and there's also rumours that he could just end up at South Australia with a contract. So,
which I think that would be not too bad, because I think what they've got, because they've got Bryce Straight, they've got Joe Burns, you know, they've got some very decent...
But I think openers. South Australia's top order has been a bit of a shambles recently, and I think, well, if you've ever looked at South Australian Premier Cricket results and batsmen, you've got heaps of blokes making tons every week. So if you want to go and make runs, that's South Australia is the place to go, I think.
Although they don't have a coach at the moment, but I think there's rumours of Jason Gillespie, I think.
Yep.
Jason Gillespie, who coaches Adelaide.
Yep.
Him doing it, or maybe Greg Blewett, I think, stepping up and going from assistant to head coach.
No, I don't think. I think he can't do it because of his media commitments.
Okay.
I think he would have been interested.
Yeah.
Had it not been for his media roles, but yeah, no. He could be part of that rebuild, Renshaw.
Yeah. Rebuild,
Renshaw. So yeah. Victoria's been looking at a few different fast bowlers. We're obviously lacking a bit of fast bowling depth now that Siddle and Tremaine are pretty much gone. So blokes we've been looking at, Simon Macken from Western Australia, who hasn't played
I'll be honest.
Shield cricket in the last few years. Just big bloke, hits the pitch hard.
All right.
Little bit of Hazelwood about him.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
So he played quite a bit of Shield cricket a few years ago and was doing quite well for them. And so he could be a good pickup for the Vics.
Yeah.
Coulter Nile has been another one. He already plays for Melbourne Stars.
Yeah. I think he'd be a good get for limited overs, but I don't...
Whether it's worth giving him a contract just...
Yeah.
Because I don't think his body's going to hold up in red ball cricket if he ever went back.
Especially because he's got a pretty decent IPL contract.
Yeah.
He's got like over $1 million, I think.
Yeah. So I don't think he's going to be pushing for a return to red ball cricket. His body just won't cope. One bloke who actually has pretty much already signed with Victoria, or he's signed with Melbourne in Premier Cricket, is Jack Prestwich. From Queensland. Young bloke hasn't really developed yet.
I saw him play in the game against the Renegades where
He was terrible.
He didn't bowl. He came in and faced like two or three balls and I think he dropped like two catches that game and I'm like, oh, this bloke's a bit of a dud.
I think you can't really judge him on how he does in T20 though, because he could be a good long-term option for Victoria, especially in Shield and one-day cricket.
Yeah.
I think he was rated pretty highly in Queensland, so, yeah, I'll see how he goes. Yeah. Henry Thornton from New South Wales, I don't know if you know who he is.
No clue.
No, young bloke from New South Wales has also been linked with Victoria, so it could be interesting to see how he goes. Had quite a few injuries the last few years. Cameron Gannon, who's... was leading wicket taker in the most recent Shield season.
Yeah.
It looks like he's on his way to WA.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which they've struggled with fast bowling depth these last few years because of injuries and
stuff. Yeah, they've got a like very that. Good batting prowess, especially with Sean Marsh.
I think he'd be a shrewd pickup for them.
Yeah.
Definitely. Eamon Vines has been cut from Victoria's contract list.
Okay.
That's already been confirmed, even though they haven't released the... But that's because Hanscom and Harris have lost their Cricket Australia contracts. So that he's naturally just dropped out. And another bloke who's been cut, or believed to have been cut, is Gurinder Sandhu from Tasmania, which is unfortunate for him because he's been a bit of wasted potential as well.
Yeah, because we only found out that he was 20. He's 26.
He's only 26 at the moment. 26. And he obviously, I don't know if you remember, but he was in the one day side of a while back.
Yeah, it was now, like 40 years ago.
2012 or 2014 or something like that.
Yeah.
2014, I think it was.
So when he was like just 20.
Yeah, he was very young. I didn't realise how young he was back then, but yeah, no, he's had a quite a big fall.
Yeah.
All right, and that moves us on to the final part of this episode.
Yeah.
Cricket 101.
Yes. I just want to say just thank you if you're still here. Just thank you so much for sticking along. I know it's, a bit long because we've got lots to talk about.
Get your cricket content in over the winter.
Yes. So thank you so much for anyone that's still here with us and sticking around.
All right. Here we go. Hope this rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
We're going to be rating the names of the Australian domestic limited overs cricket tournament.
Yes.
Did that all right.
Yeah, that's and fine.
For this, we're taking into account the overall name, but also the culture of the tournament when that was its name and just the overall nicheness.
Yeah. So, yeah, because we've been watching a lot of, niche meme accounts and everything like that, and you just see so much just nicheness and just so much culture and like how different each tournament was as soon as it changed its name.
Yeah, a bit of nostalgia. They're very iconic, some of them.
We've got ING, Ford Ranger Cup, Ryobi One Day Cup, Matador's Barbecue One Day Cup, JLT One Day Cup, and Marsh, the recent one, Marsh.
All right, so the way we're going to be ranking this, if you're on our social media, we do our tier list for a lot of stuff. Rankings from 1 to 5, but it's Elite, then Corden, Lime Cooler, Deep Fine Leg, and 12th Man is the final one.
All right, so we'll kick it off with the ING Cup.
ING Cup.
Straight away, I'm going to say Elite.
Elite.
I think.
And I think just because of the sign.
Yeah, just because of the sign.
Just because of the sign.
Especially when you see those videos of just like professional cricket players hitting the sign and they're like.
And then they celebrate.
Then they celebrate because they've won like $10,000.
$10,000, yeah. That's just awesome.
Yeah.
Please bring back something like that.
Yeah.
Even for the Big Bash, do it.
I would like if they moved the pool in the Gabba forward.
And if you hit it into the pool.
And put it in a spot that's like the sweet spot for cricketers. Just like right at Cow Corner. Cow Corner, just like, if you get the ball in the pool, it's like.
That'd be awesome.
I reckon that'd be fantastic. Like, yes, you got to get a new ball, but I reckon that'd be sick.
Next one, Ford Ranger Cup.
Yeah, I actually don't know much about this one, so I'll just put it. I'll put it at 12th man, to be honest. It's
12th? No.
I'm
going to go Lime Cooler for this.
Actually, no, I'll go Deep Fine Leg. I'll give it credit.
For me, it's a bit nostalgic, Ford Ranger Cup.
Yeah. Okay.
It was around 2007, 2008.
Oh, so. Yeah, I remember seeing that logo,
When we were getting into cricket, we were starting to take notice of Australian cricket, I guess. So that was, Then we move on to the Ryobi One Day Cup.
That was on TV a lot.
Yeah.
That was on Channel 9 a lot. So I'll probably put it at Corden, I reckon.
Corden,
I think the nicheness isn't quite there, but I think just the fact that it was just out there, that pretty much anyone could watch it if you just switch onto Channel 9 after school or something like that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Lime Caller again for this one.
Yeah.
But that leads us on to Matador Barbecues, and I'm going to put this one in the Corden.
Yeah.
Just because Ben Dunk made a double ton and that was the name of the.
I think that was
the tournament when he
because that was the tournament where Tasmania got out for like 60.
60, and then the next week
400.
Made 398 and then managed to choke it.
Yeah, yeah.
Somehow. Nuts.
I'm going to.
Ridiculous.
But also, whoever got player of the match won a Matador Barbecue.
That's just awesome.
I think that's sick. So I'm gonna put him up in
Marsh. What are you doing?
I'm gonna put him up in Elite. I reckon. I'm gonna put him up in Elite with ING Cup. All right. So brings on to probably the most. I reckon probably the most boring one. Probably the JLT One Day Cup.
Yeah. Wasn't a fan of this one.
Yeah, I think it was just that really weird one where it was just like in between the Matador Cup, and obviously what's happened now with the Marsh One Day Cup.
Yeah.
And also, but with the JLT Cup, it was like all
It just didn't have any culture.
Yeah, like you couldn't watch it.
Anywhere. And there was no culture about it. There was nothing.
And they were at just like really boring grounds.
Yeah.
They're just. I think recently they've just been at really boring grounds.
Yeah. Like, nah, this one's going 12th man for me.
Yeah, I'm going to go 12th man as 12th
man. That's, yeah. Average. And current one, Marsh One Day Cup. Not a massive fan of it, to be honest. Yeah, the brand has no culture as well. Again,
yeah, it's just kind of a bit commercialised. A little commercialised.
It's a bit.
And they play it really
bland.
And they play it really crappy grounds again.
Yeah, I'm gonna go deep fine league for this one.
Yeah, I'll probably go there as well. Like it's, I think it probably needs one or two more seasons for us to decide fully. But yeah.
Oh, they're gonna go again this year, I think.
Yeah,
I think they're staying on.
Actually, what competition had this Cricket Australia 11 team?
Yeah, that was the One Day Cup.
Was that JLT or was that
Matador? That was...
Was that Matador and
Matador and JLT, I think. Yeah. I think it was JLT, but mostly Ryobi and especially Matador Barbecues, definitely was.
Yeah, because that was a very niche team.
Very niche
team. I think team. When you watch highlights of it and you just see, like, Bo Webster opening the batting and bowling, like, 10 overs each game, it's like, you know, you kind of see where they came from. And it's pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty entertaining.
All right, once again... Yeah. Thank you if you've made it this far.
Yeah.
If you haven't already, please go and check out our social media. We put heaps of stuff on Instagram and looking to put more stuff on Facebook. So go and find our Facebook page. We're looking to put more stuff on there. Stay safe while this virus is still going and have a good one.
Yeah. See ya.